those couple of seconds, thoughts and decisions that were made changed me and my perception of situation. And those thoughts were, do I trust God? Mm-hmm. Where is God? Did he bring me here? Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Is he in control? Is he the Almighty God, I believe? Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, where we take you to the front lines and behind the scenes of our work around the world. I'm your host, Christy Graham, and I hope you had the chance to listen last week as I spoke with Vera, a Ukrainian translator who has been serving on the front lines of war. If you haven't heard the episode yet, I encourage you to go to samaritanspurse.org/listen, or you can find it on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube by searching On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse. Because this week, we're picking up where we left off. Her stories and testimonies from Ukraine are so powerful. They're difficult to listen to, but they're also convicting as you hear how God met her in the midst of great trials and fear. This week, we're going to share part two of our conversation. Vera told me how she shared the gospel in a small town in Ukraine. One woman accepted Christ as her savior. Sadly, shortly after this, the town was devastated by Russian soldiers, and Vera knows that this woman was killed. It made it so clear that there is great urgency in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for sharing the gospel, and I know it must be hard because now you can close your eyes and remember faces and names and people that have been killed, but they have heard the gospel. Did those instances where people died, does it make you more urgent for the gospel?
This is the biggest privilege you can have in life, is to share gospel. And my dad told me one day, like, Vera, if the random person starts talking to you, probably he needs to hear about Jesus. And at some point when we were in the front lines, I had this idea in my heart. I know it was God telling me, Vera, be ready to share gospel within 90 seconds in simple, not biblical words. So for us churchgoers, it's easy to be like, oh, we know what's grace is, what's mercy is, what's repentance is, what's reconciliation, salvation. And, well, tell it to the person who never read the Bible. Oh, you need to repent. What's that? And then you should be ready. And I had it in my heart, like, you should be ready to explaining to a dying person what is essential for the person to say, what would be the prayer of repentance before death. Yeah, we went to like a different village and we had food supplies that day and hygiene stuff. It was a cloudy, rainy day and it was maybe less than half a mile away from the Russians. But the river divided us. So it's kind of, they couldn't just easily shoot us. It was like some kind of division. But they could drop a bomb from the sky and they watch from the drones. So it was a rainy day and the driver prayed like, Lord, can you clear out the sky? And I'm like, no, 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 Lord, can you please stop the rain, but you don't clear out the sky because the clouds kind of protect you. And then he just looked at me and was like, Vera, come on, like, God can protect us even without the clouds. Just saying. I'm like, okay, Lord, can you, like in the times of Elisha, can you blind their eyes like the Russian eyes? So if you clear the sky, they don't see us. We did distribution, shared gospel. People were very accepting and very welcoming and in a huge need in that village. And then one person told us, hey, there is an elderly couple. Can you drop the parcels off at their place? And we're like, yeah, no problem. And we found an elderly couple in their bedroom. She was already dead for almost a day, as they say. And he was still alive. The guys did an excellent job getting him out of his bed, bringing carrying him to the van, and we were on our way to the hospital. The paramedics talk to each other. It's like, we're losing him. They check the blood pressure and other things they supposed to check on the ambulance. And they're like, we're losing him. I'm like, well, we cannot lose him. At least we can bring him to heaven. I'm like, Lord, death is disgusting. Mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. pleasing to see mm-hmm. and to be present. It is not nice feeling. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that before, so it's just not nice feeling. And had this kind of picture in my heart and mind, like, Vera, it's not that disgusting as you think. It's just, imagine the gate of heaven, and you take a baby child. Well, it can be grown up man or a woman, mm-hmm. dying person, but spiritual as a child, just like hold his or her hand, bring him to heaven, leave him there and go back to for another one. Mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine how beautiful it is? I'm like, yeah, Lord, okay, that looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. And whenever coming back to this dying gentleman, I'm like, okay, well, he's a 90-year-old man, but he can become a baby Christian whom we'll bring to heaven. Mm-hmm. And those efforts of preparation were good. Mm-hmm. Explained him the gospel in simple words, asked him questions. He was still able to respond. I asked him if he'll repeat the prayer after me. Mm. He couldn't talk, but I could see his lips moving, like repeating the words I say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we got him to the hospital. They had to do cardiogram with the flashlights and like lanterns, because the hospital was previously bombed, no electricity. We're like, okay, well, I hope he leaves. But then I'm like, okay, Lord, I know he'll live forever. Mm-hmm. So we came back with the medical supplies to that hospital a few days later, and we learned that he passed away. So his wife passed away. Mm-hmm. We had to go to police station to report death. And as we were the first witnesses in a group of people, we had to report it to say, like, it was natural death. So we went to the police to report, and police said, what's the address? So I gave them address, and they're like, no, you didn't go there. Like, you all went there. I'm like, yeah, we did. It's like, no, you didn't go there. But it was super mm-hmm. Encouraging to see, like, the police, like, no, you couldn't go there. Mm-hmm. It's too dangerous. Mm-hmm. And they didn't shoot you. Even the snipers didn't shoot you. Like, they didn't blow up your vehicles. We don't want to go there. Like, well, Lord, okay, you blinded their eyes. Thank you. So it was sad mm-hmm. day, but a joyful mm-hmm. day at the same time. Yeah.
God's provision.
God's provision and preparation to share gospel and just to be ready and willing. Yeah. Hmm.
So hard. I mean, you think of people, yeah, getting blasted by bombs or dying from impact, but you don't think about the loss that is happening just because they can't leave and they can't get the care they need. And they're, yeah, being watched on the other side by the enemies. And I thank you for going in with the gospel, because, you know, it's the only thing that is that will last, because that we even say, you know, if you give a cup of water, if you give medicine, they're going to need it again tomorrow. I mean, we are just constantly going to have needs as humans. The physical needs are never ending. Salvation is immediate. You know, yeah. When we confess with our heart and our mouth that Jesus is Lord, you know, we will be saved. So yeah. I just have to ask, can you share with me, you know, your 90-second, say, you know, I am somebody that you are going to help. What do you say to them in the midst of that? What is the message of the gospel?
Well, for God so loved the world, mm-hmm. and that he gave his begotten son, mm-hmm. So no one would perish but have eternal life. Mm-hmm. Well, we should put it in more simple words for those who don't read the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's essential to explain that Jesus is God, that he is the only way, that he died on the cross, and put your faith and trust in the Lord in order for like, if you want to be saved.
The gospel's so simple. We want to complicate it, and we want to add to it and make it more and make it grand. But you're right. It is so simple. It is that we are separated from God. We are lost and we are in a dark, broken world. And he came so that we could be with him. You know, this isn't it. Home isn't it. And you know that, you know, we are aliens and sojourners on this earth. And this is not our home. This is temporary. And so you give people that hope that, yes, your circumstances right now are really hard, but this is not, I mean, eternity is so long.
Yeah, it is true.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all in Ukraine lost the feeling of home since the war had started. Each family, especially those who live closer to the front line, can die while sleeping because being bombed.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine you go to bed fully ready to die or for your body to be found dead. Like normally we go home for safety, for rest, for protection, for comfort, for love. And then most people in Ukraine go home and, well, what protection are you talking about? Comfort? Coziness? In a way, we all lost, or I would say even the feeling of home got stolen from us, from most of us, maybe even from all of us. But then you think, okay, Lord, well, I have home in heaven. And I have hope in heaven. And I'm with you. You're with me. I'm your child. And we're going to be fine. So as I like saying, either we're going to be good or we're going to be very good there with Jesus.
To live is Christ. To die is gain. You're right. Yeah. We're going to be good or even better.
Yeah.
That was difficult to hear. As Vera described families who've lost their sense of home. It reminded me, though, as believers, we are all longing for home. It is not here on earth. It's our eternal home in heaven. But while we're here, we can still provide supplies and comfort to families who are suffering. And Vera has witnessed with her own eyes what it's like as families receive food, hygiene items, and other supplies. And one special way that she was able to love on families was through Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes. I loved what she had to say about this.
Well, with the shoebox, we help families who were displaced and who lost their homes. And some families have children. Whenever I get a request, I ask what's their needs, what's their story, where they come from. Sometimes their situations are so bad that they say, we don't have any forks and spoons to eat with. We have to be like a group of six people and we have only two sets. We have to wait for each other to finish eating so we could use their stuff. And that lady shared with me and I'm like, oh, we have shoeboxes in our warehouse. And I put the content in that parcel and the mom of the family, they received it and then they messaged me back, saying, thank you for the all the food you sent. You sent even a toy for my child and, a gift, like box content to the child. And she said, Vera, it is the only thing she has on her, of her own. Like we were hurrying, living so fast that we didn't think about toys and whatever belonged to our child. We just fled for our lives. She said, the daughter cuddles with this bear all the time and never lets it go. And she said, thank you for the school supplies you sent. They allow our child to be busy and do like draw or get distracted from the loss we had. It was amazing. In some cases, they put t-shirts in the shoeboxes. And I got a thank you note for like, oh, my son couldn't even dream for like brand new t-shirt because we couldn't afford it. In the cases with internally displaced people, they get secondhand things. But like brand new, it's mine and it nobody wore it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it brings so much joy to people.
Mm-hmm. So this little box seems so, sometimes we don't know, what impact does this have? So I just want people hearing that are packing, I mean, you are essentially giving them a physical home, you know, some tangible things that maybe they fled and couldn't grab, you know. And so when you're packing, I mean, just think and envision, yeah, you are giving something to hug, something to love. But then it always goes with the gospel.
I love that our work meets both physical and spiritual needs. Everything we do is with the purpose of introducing people to the good news of Jesus Christ. Vera felt like she was an unlikely person to be serving in the middle of a war. In last week's episode, she called herself a chicken. But she is serving bravely because of the work God has done in her life. And it reminds me of 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, God's power is made perfect in our weakness.
One of those days, we went to the front line and the lady looked at me. She's like, you're just a little kid. Like, you're small and you're not a warrior. And why did you come here? How come you came here from the good place? You could have been abroad and you came here and you just smile and you just like, do you even realize there is war? Like, well, come on, we have blowing up bombs over us. I realize there is war. And she looks at me, she's like, what's that about you? And she said, I want to have this piece. Can you give me this piece you have? And we had children's literature. And it was Christmas time. And I'm like, well, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? And he gives me this piece and he's the only piece they can share, right? So I opened the Christmas story. I'm like, well, the only piece I have is this piece and this piece that overwhelms us enough to come here. And there were two other men, adults, like elderly even men, and they're like, oh, we want these children's books too, Bibles too. We want to read those too. Wow. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
And people are hungry for hope. And so, yeah, we have the literature, the greatest gift and the greatest journey that we can give out in their language. So you're going back. You're going back to Ukraine and knowing what you know and knowing the partners and the churches and the people that, that we are going in to serve. How can we be praying?
We know that God is almighty. We know that God is in charge. But whenever we see evil happening, we ask God, where are you? And whenever people don't see, don't recognize God, they become angry, revenging, hopeless, depressed, anxious, restless, and they're just angry with everything and anything. They want to find peace somewhere else because they didn't get the answer to their hearts. Where is God? Where was God when I was going through whatever I was going through? I've read the story of young guys in the fire furnace. And I was fascinated that young men were so confident about their God. Even while being captive. I read this passage in the morning before going to the fire, a very fiery place. So we enter the town, village, small town, and we are being bombed right away. And one bomb landed to the left, other to the right. We passed. And when we parked our vehicle, there were more than one vehicle of ours. We actually were doing the warm project there. Getting the wood stoves and the wood there for people and evacuating people from there. I remember that moment when, after seeing many bombs blowing up, our leader told, like, Vera, go to the cellar. We'll be fine. I went to the cellar and I started thinking, like, what am I doing here? I can die. And then this thought, like, Vera, haven't you read the Bible in the morning? Haven't you been worrying that this will happen? You have. And you know what? Jesus is with you even if you don't see. And those couple of seconds, thoughts and decisions that were made changed me and my perception of situation. And those thoughts were, do I trust God? Mm-hmm. Where is God? Did he bring me here? Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Is he in control? Is he the almighty God, I believe? Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. Not much time went by. I'm like, well, I'm tired. I'm bored here in the cellar. The bombing is still going on. And like every 3-5 seconds, we hear explosions from the cellar. Like, I'm tired. What am I going to do? And I just started thinking, like, what are the ideas to do there in the cellar while bombing? Apostle Paul sang in prison. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a good idea. So those songs, hymns, that actually are like more scriptural. In that case, for me, it was the song, You Are My Hiding Place. Mm-hmm. You always heal, keep my heart with words of deliverance. I will trust in you. Hmm. And I sang, and then I'm like, I want to see what's going on outside. Like, Vera, come on, calm down. Just be there. And this moment of just trusting God, catching myself, my thoughts, that am I in control? It's much more than I can do. Do I lose it? Like, all? Am I lost in all this? Hmm. Even if I am, God is not, and I trust him. Everything going to be okay. Yeah, we left that place all safe, alive. None of us got injured. I remember myself being scared. And then I have other people telling me, like, Vera, what are you? Like, who are you? What's that about you? We're being bombed. You just walk around, hug people, comfort them, just make them smile and like crack some jokes and they laugh. I'm like, well, I do remember something, but I don't remember that. I didn't see, mm-hmm. at least I didn't see myself mm-hmm. acting that mm-hmm. way. But then people just came up to me and was like, what is that about mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. that, like, you girl can, like, be here and be in peace? Mm-hmm. Like, well, this is Jesus. So, and I find this incredible. Though I don't wish anyone to go through war in mm-hmm. order to get mm-hmm. to know God that well. mm-hmm. Well, if you don't feel equipped, mm-hmm. That's not always the reason to say no to mm-hmm. whatever God is calling you to do. Mm-hmm. Because I think he's looking for obedient, trusting people. And he sometimes equips them on the spot mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For the moment. And to your question, how you can pray for us, pray for peace that transpasses all understanding. Mm-hmm. You also can pray for God to prepare people who would go there and bring healing to people's hearts and minds, mm-hmm. and for the churches to be equipped, mm-hmm. open, available, have qualified and obedient people to receive widows and soldiers. So if you can pray for us as the country to get healed and free, emotionally, spiritually, mm-hmm. and liberated from those who want to occupy us with evil intentions.
Thank you so much for listening today. I hope that hearing Vera's testimony and stories challenged you like it did me. I love hearing her faith, that on her own and in her own strength, she's afraid. She's a chicken, but with the Lord, she can do all things that he's called her to do. And I just want to close with Isaiah 26:3-8, because I thought of her when I read this verse. You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. Trust in the Lord forever, because in the Lord himself is an everlasting rock. Yes, Lord, we wait for you in the path of your judgments. Our desire is for your name and renown. Please continue to pray for Ukraine. Pray for people like Vera that are sharing the gospel in these difficult times. As this verse says, he can keep us in perfect peace as we trust in him. Though times are uncertain, things are threatening our lives, especially in Ukraine, they can have this perfect peace through Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for listening today, and God bless you.